Hey, everybody. Thank you for tuning into the SFLC podcast. I want to thank our sponsors, Dependable Solutions, innovating the future of your small to medium-sized business since 2012. It's 2018. If you're not accepting credit cards, you're losing money. Plain and simple. Learn how you can save 40 to 60% on your overall credit card processing bill by going to dependable-solutions.net. Again, that is dependable/solutions.net. Also, teststrips.com. That is teststrips with a Z.com. Managing diabetes is your business. Making it affordable is ours. Sell your extra unused diabetes supplies for up to $50 per box and support a worthy cause. Rated a Better Business Bureau accredited A+ rating for over 5 years. Partnered with 98.5, the Sports Hub, and affiliated with the American Diabetes Association. Make sure to check them out again. That is teststrips with a Z.com.
SFLC Podcast.
All right, everybody, and we are back. Thank you for everyone tuning in to the SFLC podcast. Had to take a little bit of a hiatus here because this little thing is called moving. Of course, I ended up talking with James Lynch as he was getting ready to move across Canada. I just moved and got settled in to Austin, Texas. So, ready to get into everything, get back on the game plan. And for the first show with me moving down to Austin, Texas, we're going to have an update with one of our friends on the show, the owner of Sick Jitsu and Excite Fight MMA production, Rick Little. Rick, thanks for joining me, my man.
Oh, no problem. What a great introduction. You said the names right, Excite Fight and Sick Jitsu. People don't say those very well.
I don't understand how it doesn't roll off the tongue.
Well, they mess it up. Sick Jiu-Jitsu, Excite Fights with an S, plural, just different stuff. Exciting fighting. It gets mixed up a lot. Sick Jiu-Jitsu especially.
See, now I can see...
People in the know that's how it should be said. Sick Jiu-Jitsu, simple.
Now, I could see people confusing Excite Fight with Excite Bike, but that's just because I'm a child of the 80s and grew up playing Nintendo.
Yeah, a lot of people might not know that one, but we do. I actually would love to Excite Bike. I did. That wasn't my inspiration. My inspiration was actually Bodog Fight. I like that they're one of the few promotions when they started that didn't have to have fighting, or plural or S or, It's just fight. I like that. Excite Fight. Simple instead of, Dominating Fighting Alliance and all those other names with the ING. I like to be a little different, to the point.
It definitely cuts down on everything, that's for damn sure. So the Pacific Northwest kind of making a name for themselves in MMA. They have been for a while. But talk to me about I know you just did an Excite Fight promotion. How did everything go with that?
Oh, it went great. We did it. I love my casino. Shout out to Northern Quest Casino. They're the best. They let me do a lot of things there, and I've been able to raise a lot of fighters on that show. Most recently, Bia Malecki, who's on the last Ultimate Fighter. She's been exclusively on my shows, and we got her up. But to go back with what you're saying, they just have such an amazing summer concert venue that literally can hold 5,000 people that they let me do like a trial event to see how we would do an event and, low budget type of event to get a feel for it. So next year when we do an outdoor show, we can make it a 5,000 person show. That would be great.
That would absolutely be great. And you got the amphitheater and you've got the backing behind it. So of all the fights that you've seen, how many of your fighters like look at this and say, hey man, I could do this as a career. I could go into a Bellator, I could go into a Victory, I could go into a UFC.
Yeah, well, honestly, very few. A lot of people just don't know until it's right sprung up on them. One of my best one of my best fighters I've ever had is Tyler Maguire, and you know, he had no idea. I forced him to go pro. He didn't think he was ready to go pro, and that was like 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, and then he just got done beating Sapo, Luis Santos, a couple months ago. Remember, I don't know if you saw that fight at ONE Fighting Championships or not.
I did. ONE Fighting is making leaps and bounds in the MMA community as far as rules and regulations. That's dominating the Asian market, if I'm correct.
Oh yeah, they're dominating, and I'm amazed because Tyler got jumped right, got thrown right into the fire there. He came right from my show, Excite Fight, to fighting world class top five guy in the world, in my opinion, fight at ONE.
Damn, that's impressive, Rick. Yeah. I tip my hat to you on that.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, this promotion is legit. The team is obviously legitimate. So it's been going good. And guys like you noticing it, you know, I really do appreciate it.
Oh, man, are you kidding?
I guess I don't notice so much.
I think that too many people in the MMA community for media get too wrapped up on what's happening in Bellator and UFC, and they don't want to reach out and talk about ONE or Victory or LFA or any of those other major promotions that people are just kind of throwing by the wayside.
Exactly.
So, you know, yeah. I did want to mention one thing about your gym, Sick Jitsu. A couple of articles you can read, and one that really grabbed me was the concept that obviously you guys are a jiu-jitsu place, but you don't let any of your fighters block body shots.
Correct.
Is this a concept that you came up with a while ago, or how long has this been in motion for you?
It's just a long-standing theory. You know, fighting to me has a lot of theories to it. Like, you know, like a lot of people are theoretically believe a wrestler can beat a striker, right? Or theoretically can believe a jiu-jitsu. You got to get into some theories. I have a theory in general about body shots and leg kicks. And I really believe, I truly do believe that if you lose to a body shot, you aren't a world-class, you aren't the true cream of the crop. And anybody, and I have people flip out about it. They go nuts. And I get it because we've seen a lot of good fighters go down to that stuff. But in reality, when have you seen the kings get dethroned with those kind of strikes? When do you see a Fedor, Roy Jones Jr., McGregor, all these guys when they were on top of their thrones? When did you see them go down in that fashion?
Yeah,
you know what I mean. There's only one way. You, that's not how you kill. You know, the bull. It's the bull that's running the show. You can't kill him with that. And I want that mentality in my gym. I just can't imagine Anderson Silva in his reign, someone coming up there and throwing a left hook to his body and him dropping and then winning the title that way. I can't imagine it. It did, and same thing with Fedor. Remember when he's killing everybody? Like, it's not fathomable to me that can happen, you know, because it actually never happened. You go look at the killers like Tyson and stuff, that's not how Tyson went down. That's not how the dragon got slayed, right? It got slayed right from the chin.
Yeah.
And when McGregor was on a roll and Nate Diaz killed him, he killed him to the chin and then to the neck, you know? And I just, and those kind of people won't go down that way. And I want it, you know, that's what I want in my gym. Like, if world champions can take it, you can take it, especially if you want to be a world champion. If we're sitting in practice and we're getting tapped to the belly with the left hand and we're dropping like a sack of potatoes, and I know I have a problem here, I don't believe I have a championship athlete, period. So what happens then? Then they start blocking all those shots because they go down from the soft shots, and then what happens? Then they start getting hit high, KO'd, brain damage, right? I mean, it's just in the gym, I'm just not tolerant of it. Period. To me, it's a sign of mental weakness. Absolutely.
So to that point, do you believe in the concept of, like, I guess, strengthening the liver? Because it's not necessarily that it's the left hook. it's where the left hook is connecting. And we all know that, like, scientifically, the liver shot is kind of a kill shot, right?
I guess. There we go again with it. There we go again. When has the left hook, when has the liver shot ever taken a world title from a dominant champion?
That's true.
When?
I can't recall.
It's never happened. Yeah.
All right.
It's never happened. So, and it's like, and it's weird that everybody will argue with me on it till they're blue in the face, yet it won't be in the game when you're fighting a monster. When you're fighting Chris Cyborg, no one's like, oh, the key is to test the liver. No one truly believes that. No one truly believes that. That's what I'm saying. And that's, when she goes down, that's not how she's going to go down.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when TJ Dillashaw goes down and someone else beats him, they know it's not going to be to the liver. And if they are, if they really think they're going to go there and win, they're going to get hurt. That's what I'm saying. Go ahead and drop your hand and throw the body shot and watch what happens. You're going to get messed up.
It's sort of like, in God we trust, all others bring data.
Yeah, so, exactly.
So, you know, you mentioned him a few times. You know, obviously we see, Michael Chiesa, who is getting ready to move up to welterweight, eyeing Carlos Condit at UFC 232. I have to ask you, how ready is Michael to be at 170 as opposed to where he was?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. Me and him have not been getting along on that subject. I wanted him to stay at 55. He's wanting to go to 70. Again, it wasn't about anything more than I wanted to make sure it wasn't a mental lapse on why he wanted to go to 70.
Do you think
right?
it was?
He made a good run at 55. I don't want someone to just go to 70 because their mind just can't keep grinding on the weight cuts and the grind has been lost. But after a big discussion, meetings, talks, evaluations, 70 is the right move. I was the last one on board. The whole team was on board. He was on board. Everybody's on board. Nutritionist was on board. I wasn't. But I am now. After talking to him, I am now. He is a true 70-pounder. He's actually an upper-size 70-pounder, believe it or not. So he'll still be bigger than half the 70ers out there. And it's the right move. I mean, he was literally killing himself to make weight, more than other fighters. I mean, he's probably even bigger than Kevin Lee, and Kevin Lee is killing himself. And there's a few guys out there that's not their weight class, and they're just making it happen. And that's Mike. He's made it happen because he's on a run. You can't just jump out of the weight class when you're on a run. You know what I mean? He was like one fight from the title.
Yes,
right?
He was.
And so you can't just hop out of the weight class, but, you know, he's been a 155er since he's 20 years old, and he's grown. So you can imagine how hard that is on your body now that he's 30, and he's still having to make that weight. So I just didn't want it to be in the middle of his run, and the run got a little derailed. You know, he was having a tough cut. We had him on weight. It was going to be an epic night against Anthony Pettis at New York, and then Connor came. And he ruined it all. I mean, he really did. I, the amount of damage done there was more than people understand. There was a guy on there that was sitting on the bus on weight that weighs 200 pounds, that was weighing 156 pounds. Do you know what I mean? He wasn't able to take any damage at all at that moment. You know, and he took damage, and it ruined it. It ruined a lot of things. It actually, like I said, when you cut that much weight, you should get a reward for it, a fight, glory. He got nothing but a hospital bill and sent home without being able to fight.
Did
and
the
then
UFC...
as you know, he didn't make weight the next time.
Right.
That incident kind of set him back. And, you know, his body hasn't responded well, and we're not able to get him low. We've been doing all sorts of stuff with him, and that's when this is a collective decision to make to go to 170. It's getting too unhealthy and dangerous.
And a couple
period.
Now, a couple of different things I want to touch on that before we get more into this story is it looks like the UFC is, well, let me back up. You said that all Michael got from this was a hospital bill and sent home. Did the UFC cover that as far as the expense?
Oh yeah, yeah. They were they covered. They gave him his show money, and they gave him, you know, of course, any medical was covered. So yeah, that was taken care of. But rightfully so, I'm sure they don't want to be sued, and they definitely could be sued in that situation. But no one really wants to sue the company that they want to work for and be in good with.
Exactly.
Right? So that's not an option of us to sue them. But they definitely are very liable in that incident. You know, they definitely have things that they could have done better.
I agree with you.
You know, what happened.
Now, the other thing with Michael Chiesa is it looks like he's going to fight Carlos Condit at 232. But we also see that the UFC is teasing it opening up a 165-pound division. Would that be something that Michael Chiesa would entertain, or is he just set, I want to be at welterweight, this is the division I want to fight at now?
No, I mean, 165 would be perfect. I mean, there's all these round numbers in MMA, and everybody's different weights. I mean, the ideal weight for Mike would probably be 163, which is the lowest I've seen him at with some amount of shred of health to him. You know, if there's an ideal weight class for Michael Chiesa, it would be 163. Add a few pounds, oh well, 165, that works. You know, I mean, yes. So the answer is yes. If that weight class indeed comes true and gets going, I think everyone's going to try to jump in it. That's the problem. But I think it's ideal for him, for sure.
Well,
for sure.
And you know what would be great, actually, is if Michael Chiesa is going to go on this welterweight run, if the 165-pound opens up, it actually might be smarter for Mike to stay at 170 for a few more fights while everybody else is trying to transition to 165, because all that's going to do is open up the division for him more.
I agree. He just needs to get in there ultimately and win. I mean, you know, he's had a rough go. It's weird because MMA is not as simple as people think, as getting in the cage and winning and losing. There's so many things that happen in camps and relationships and drama that carry into the cage. And, you know, just like we know, the Kevin Lee fight with Mike Chiesa, I mean, that was a palm-to-palm choke Kevin Lee had with short time left. Could he have finished it? Yes. Is it escapable? Yes. You know what I mean? He didn't get a chance in that fight. You know, Mario Yamasaki called that on his own. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Unheard of, calling a palm-to-palm RNC on his own. You know what I mean? So that sucks. That, to me, is bad luck because we anticipated losing round one to Kevin Lee. We anticipated losing round two. We figured we were going to give up some athletic advantages, but we'd like to see what happened in four and five when that fight got ugly, you know? And so, you know, we didn't really get a chance. And then, like you said, the Pettis thing was just, he got caught in the circus. Not only is he cutting insurmountable weight and pushing himself to the limit, you know, on these weight cuts, but then you deal with the bus attack, then you deal with everything after that. Because once McGregor gets tied to your name, it's a circus. He couldn't even start opening his inboxes and everything, you know, and getting calls on it. You know, it's just that second Pettis fight turned into a circus to him. Circus that he wasn't able to withstand. He couldn't make the weight, and he couldn't perform like he performs. You know, so that was definite residue from the incident, 100%.
Speaking of that lawsuit, you know, I know that he had filed a lawsuit against Conor in a civil suit. I believe he's also suing the Barclays Center for being negligent of this and not protecting the fighters. What kind of support is he getting from the MMA community because of this?
Well, listen, the MMA community, and I'm going to say it loud because a lot of them are just a bunch of sheep and they're just dumb. They look at something that flashes in their face and they freak out. He's not getting any support because they're not understanding the timing. Now, for whatever reason, publications are releasing it now. They're like, Michael Chiesa filed suit against Conor. He filed it right after it happened. You know what I mean? Right after it happened, we're not covering these damages that he did. Connor better be covering those damages. That doesn't take a rocket scientist to know who's responsible for everything that happened. Everybody knows it's Connor's fault. Everybody has filed on Connor. Whatever reason why it's being lifted now is for whatever reason. I don't know if it's to interfere with this Khabib fight, but he already did it. And back in the day, if you look at all the fans' comments, it's like, why aren't you suing him? Why aren't you suing him? Well, he was. He just never said nothing about it. And then now all of a sudden, story breaks out. Mike Chiesa filed a lawsuit, and everybody just assumes he decided to do it like months later.
Wow.
But that was not, it already happened. Like, he was already, that had already happened. So, that doesn't make any, literally, Connor's attorney and people were talking to Mike the day after it happened. So, I don't know why everybody's in an uproar. I really think everybody just thinks, oh, well, he lost against Pettis, so now he's going to file a suit.
I don't think,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, and if that's the case, that's some sloppy journalism. Because yeah, it all looks exactly. Like it came out. I believe it's September 11th or September 12th was when that story broke that Mike was suing Connor. But
yeah.
You know, like you said, it sounds like this happened months prior to it. So is Mike the only one that is filing a lawsuit against Connor and against the Barclays Center?
I'm sure everybody is. That's why I don't understand why it's so quiet. I'm sure everybody is.
Wow.
So everybody involved is, including myself, because same thing. People have damages. I mean, I spent 4 or 5 months on camp with Mike, traveling the country with Mike, going to different places, getting different looks, and this is going to blow you away, which it shouldn't, but Khabib and Ferguson have pulled many times. We actually were bringing in wrestlers because we were planning that there was a 40% chance we were going to fight Khabib or Ferguson that night because we knew we were the highest ranked 155er on that card. And we knew the likelihood of Khabib and Ferguson not happening was like a coin flip.
Because they got pulled out like 4 or 5 times prior to that?
Yes. So I tried to get him to prepare for Khabib and Ferguson 2 years ago when they had to pull out. And everybody was like, what are you talking about, Rick? And I'm like, you need to prepare. And sure enough, the pullout happened. Dana's calling everybody. Who can take this fight? Mike's sitting there at 180 pounds, can't take it. And then I called them, and I'm like, I told you, if you were sitting at 165, you'd be in a title fight right now. You know what I mean? And so during the Pettis camp, it wasn't hard since he'd already grinding to say, hey, you're the highest ranked guy in the card. If this happens, you are going to get the fight. You understand me? And he was ready for that. He had completely was ready for Khabib or Ferguson, and unfortunately they called Max Holloway, so that kind of hurt us on fight week. We're like, okay, it's not happening, but then guess who was notified they're going to get the title fight when Holloway was out?
Who was that?
I'm sure you can guess. Chiesa.
Yep.
Chiesa was the lottery ticket, just like I predicted. I'm sitting there celebrating like I told you. And I think it's a huge advantage because poor Khabib doesn't know who the hell he's fighting. He has no idea. He's training for all these different guys. He doesn't know what's going on. And he has Chiesa, who's had his eyes set on him. Chiesa and Kevin Lee have been obsessed with Khabib for years because they like the grappling match. They know it's a grappling match and that Khabib's not going to finish you. So you have 5 rounds to maybe catch a sub or a cut on him. You know what I mean? It's a very winnable fight for a grappler.
Yeah.
And so we were literally celebrating, like, this is the best thing ever. And then all of a sudden, it got ruined with Connor. What Connor probably doesn't know and his team might not be aware of is that they knocked someone out of a title fight. They didn't knock someone out of the Anthony Pettis fight. They knocked somebody out of a title fight.
Right.
So, and that is very damaging. Mike will never say that's damaging. I, as a coach, am telling you that's damaging because imagine wanting to be in a UFC title since you're, 14 years old. You've been training with me since he's a young teenager. he's been grinding, winning the Ultimate Fighter, ups and down, wins and losses, and you finally, all these weight cuts, all this sacrifice, all these near-death experiences of weight cuts have finally totaled your one chance. You finally get a chance. Whether it's a fluke or not, it doesn't matter. And look what Nate Diaz did with his chance. You get that one chance, and it gets taken away by something just completely flukish. You know what I mean? That is what's deflating. That's why I didn't even want him to fight Pettis the second time, because he went from having the title fight, he's excited, to now having a camp where it's like, oh, I'm out of the picture now. Now I'm just fighting Pettis on another card, randomly. Ferguson's back. Everyone's back in the picture. You're back in the line, ranked 10. You got to win 3 more fights. It becomes quite a mountain that you can't, you know what I mean, that you're back down on again. That incident knocked him completely off the mountain. People don't understand that.
Right.
You know, and it caused a lot of damage. It's not just like, oh, boom, it caused the damage to the Pettis fight. No, he had a fight with Khabib. And what happens if he upsets Khabib that night?
He's the champion.
You know what I mean? He's a champion, and he's probably fighting Conor. And he's fighting for who knows how many millions of dollars Khabib's making. 15? That's what might be my guess. 10? 15?
Yeah, that's probably what it's looking at.
Way higher than people are thinking.
Well,
so,
and that's my concern here, Rick, is there are people in the community that are saying, I don't know where Mike Chiesa thinks that he was going to be asked to get the title shot. Was he asked for that fight?
Yes, he was. He was getting the fight, 100%. If that bus incident didn't happen, it was Khabib and Chiesa, confirmed from the man himself.
So why are people saying that that wasn't necessarily what they were going to do?
Well, who's saying that? Give me an example. Just fans?
Well, no. I think it... Well, actually, the last show I did, I had James Lynch of Lynch on Sports, and he and I were actually talking a little bit about this lawsuit. And, I mean, look, I agree with you. I think that Michael Chiesa absolutely has this already won. There's not much of a defense for Conor at this point. But, you know, I even said I'm pretty sure that Chiesa was confirmed to be fighting Khabib after Tony went down. And I guess there's still some scrutiny because, you know, nobody knows that that was officially what was going to happen because nothing was ever, you know, promoted or assigned, if you know what I mean.
Well, that's of course the truth. It didn't have a chance to get promoted. It didn't have a chance to actually be like, you know, whatever you do, put through the media and all that. Correct. But it's literally, not only was he told, and via we have proof, but I'll just say it, I'll leave it at that. But it's common sense on top of it. Even if he wasn't told, which he was, it's common sense that all of a sudden the number 11th ranked Ally Aquinta gets the fight when they were trying to give it to Paul Felder, but Paul Felder was unallowed to take it via the New York Athletic Commission when they were going to give it to Pettis, but Pettis actually knows he's just a few fights from a title anyway, so he didn't just want to hop in there. He gets paid championship money anyway. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So Pettis doesn't need to take the fight. So they already asked Pettis. They already asked. It's proof that they asked everybody. Felder, they couldn't get through. Aquinta to get through. So it's common sense on top of it. Are you going to give the fight to Ally Aquinta, who Chiesa already had beaten in round one and who's ranked 5 places below Mike?
No, you're not.
You know what I mean? It doesn't even make sense. Mike's ranked number 5 at the time. Al's 11. And they're trying to give it to Paul Felder. They're just trying to get a fight on there for Khabib, period. Like, it's a no-brainer that to have him fight Mike. But people aren't really, you know, most people that are talking crap about it don't follow the ABCs that closely because it's a tough one to follow. I mean, it's hard to... We heard the news of Ferguson being out. We heard the news of Holloway being out. You know what I mean?
Right.
But when Chiesa was out, we heard the news pretty much at weigh-ins. So no one's going to compute that actually cost Chiesa a title fight when he scheduled to fight Pettis. You know what I mean? That doesn't come into the computation, but it doesn't take much of a mathematician to go, even the dumbest guy sitting at home going, well, Ally Aquinta's fighting for the title. Could it have been Mike? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because he's ranked higher? Yes, it could have been. You know what I mean? It doesn't take even the biggest couch potato to figure that one out that just says, well, I would have had the number five guy fight for the title. Wouldn't you?
Yes, I would.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, like, that's that simple. So, yes, everybody knows that he was going to fight Pettis. And, yes, they ended up fighting again. And so everybody's stuck on, oh, well, it cost you the Pettis fight. But the fact of the matter is, and I say with a capital F, the fact of the matter is he was fighting Khabib for the chance of a lifetime and the UFC world title that he's been training for since he's a teenager, and he's 30 years old, that he's been cutting weight to the extremes that no one cuts weight like him, that he's been forcing his body through hell. He gets the opportunity, and it gets taken.
Yeah.
And then miraculously, he can't make weight anymore. Miraculously, he has the worst performance after. That stuff happens. You know what I mean? It's really hard to be at such a high and then have somebody, you know, you can go from a low right there. Look what happened to Mendez. He was at such a high. He's beating up Conor McGregor. He almost beats Conor. Boom, he loses. And then all of a sudden, now he's fighting on a smaller show, fighting Frankie Edgar. Oh well, whatever. Boom, he gets killed. You know what I mean? It's like your performances will be a lot of based on opportunity and desire of, you know, in the position you're in.
Yeah.
That nobody wants to fight. Nobody wants to fight Anthony Pettis when you're like, oh man, I had such an opportunity. I can't believe that I'm back here again, and I guess I'll fight him. You know what I mean? Nobody wants to do that. You want to be like, oh my God, thank God we're training for Khabib. This worked out perfectly. This is going to be a surprise. This is going to be great. Great grappling match. He's got, wait till you see some of the tricks that we've been preparing for him. And then all of a sudden it's just gone.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, when you lose enthusiasm, you lose a lot. A lot. What would Tom Brady be without enthusiasm?
That's true.
He would be average.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So it was a big one. It was a big one, and it's a factual that he would have had the title fight.
Well, and I guess my biggest concern with all of this, like you said, is, you know, sounds like people are sheep. They're not trying to look at this whole story. But, you know, we've seen some responses via social media thinking that Michael Chiesa, you know, is in the wrong for going after Conor. I mean, does this affect Mike?
Oh, I know.
How has Mike responded to that?
It's bugging him to death because that's all you start seeing is the people mad. But like I said, it's because of the timing. I realize these people are just stupid because this lawsuit thing is filed now, so they believe. You know damn well if the story broke while he was in the hospital or the next day, that people would be like, good, piece of crap, Connor. That's what they'd be doing. You know what I mean? Remember, everybody was so pissed at Connor, and then nobody acted like they were even talked to him again. Everybody was like on the Connor, I hate Connor train, and then now they're on the I love Connor train. You know what I mean? It's all timing. If the news of the lawsuit broke that week, I promise you that you wouldn't be getting these reactions. But the fact that the news broke late, people are not happy about it.
Right. Let me ask you this. Has Mike gotten any support from anybody in the community? Because it sounds like it's been a lot of negative.
I don't, believe it or not, I don't really talk much about it with him because it is an emotional roller coaster since the second that Dolly cracked the window that he was pretty much laying on.
Yeah.
Resting his head while he was cutting weight. Since the Dolly went through that window, it's been a roller coaster. He tries to stay on social media, tries to do stuff. Everywhere we go in town, they ask about it. You know, it's nonstop. And so I don't talk about it. I don't really talk about it. To me, it's business in the gym, period. And frankly, I've seen it affect him as a coach. You know, I've seen this affect him.
Right.
I hate to say it. So, oh, that's another reason why the weight cut is the move is made. You know, that Dolly incident pretty much knocked him to the back of the line. No joke. And is he going to just keep killing himself to get to the front of the line, or do you now get healthy, let your body grow, and, you know, and kind of get a fresh start again. That's what we decided. Let's get a rebirth. This cutting weight every single year since age 19 gets old. You can imagine. It gets old for people in 1 year. Imagine 10, 11 years. He's still going to cut, of course, but it's just not what you know our camps were like. They were crazy. I mean, we're sitting there training with a skeleton, trying not to hurt him and, you know, trying to push him and not hurt him and not eat around him and fight weak with misery. And you can just imagine. Now you can live a little bit. Still got a weight cut, but something in the realm of in the realm of almost fun, right? Like normal weight cut.
Exactly.
Mike's 200 pounds, you know, so period. You can do the math there.
Yeah, that's so 45 pounds.
You can imagine the last few weeks are not fun.
No, I can't imagine it's fun at all. I've actually tried water cutting and weight cutting, and it's horrible, and I wouldn't recommend it to anybody. But with Mike being such a high-level athlete, he's conditioned his body to do it, as much as you can condition your body to do something like that.
Yeah, you condition your body and you condition your mind. And it's funny that I saw his mind shutting down after that incident with Connor, and then all of a sudden he doesn't make weight. Like, we could not get his body to get lower than it got. He got about 2-3 pounds off, and we spent 2 hours, and he couldn't get a single shred off of him after that. It was crazy. I'd never seen that happen. To me, it's just, it had a residual effect. It really did. So, whether people hate it or not, or there's no support or not, I'm stating facts that title fights were taken away and that performance was affected.
Well,
period.
I will probably be one of the few people who will say this into a live microphone. And it's terrible that you're going to have to hear it from me first, Rick, but I absolutely agree with you. I've agreed with you, and I agree with Mike taking this action a long time ago. You know, what Connor did was wrong. Welcome to being an adult. When you do something like this, you are held responsible, and that responsibility does have a dollar sign attached to it. So I, if nothing else, I absolutely support Michael for doing this, and, you know, hopefully he's not the only one doing this. He's not going down this road by himself.
Yeah.
But
I appreciate that.
Well, let's have a little bit of fun then. I'll tell you what. We also know that next week we're going to see the highly anticipated lightweight main event between Khabib and Conor. Now, I'm not sure if your head and your heart are telling you different or if they're telling you the same. How do you kind of see that fight going down at the T-Mobile Arena?
Well, my head and heart never get confused. When I get involved in this fight game, I've been involved in it for longer than people realize it, since I literally trained with Royce Gracie when he was the champ, you know, back in 97. So I've been involved forever. And so my head and my heart never cloud what my beliefs are, because if it did, I wouldn't pick it this way. Because I honestly have a bad feeling that Conor's going to win. And I would much prefer Khabib to win. He's every time I've come across him, he's literally the nicest guy on the roster. He's the most respectful guy on the roster, you know, of everybody. He's very aware. He's very intelligent. He's a great, to me, representative of the sport, everything about him. He's the best competitor we've ever had to have a record like that.
Yeah.
But that being said, under the light, with the pressure on, I don't know if there's been any better competitors than Conor. You know, I can't be, you know, mad. I'm mad at him for the incident what he took from us, but there's been no better competitor under the lights. I can't think of almost anyone. I mean, even with the Mayweather example, the guy took it to Floyd for five rounds, in my opinion. He won the first five rounds. You know, in a sport that he's not even doing, that shouldn't happen for even a minute. That shouldn't happen for a minute. You know what I mean? It's like Conor finds ways to land his shots. And he's never, I've said this fact the other day to somebody, what scares me about Conor is he's never not landed his shot in a fight. You can't name one fighter that he's fought that was able to escape what he's good at. what he's good at, including Nate Diaz when he beat him. Nate Diaz still had to eat some monsters.
Yeah, he did.
If you remember. And then he beat it. And even Floyd Mayweather, the untouchable Floyd, got hit hard in round one, right off the bat, on a punch that he wasn't ready to get punched by. You know, it was, the guy had an uncanny knack to land. So statistically, he, in under the pressure, he always finds a way to land. So it, the question is, would Khabib deal with getting hurt? I think he's going to get, Khabib's going to get hurt. I think Conor's going to get taken down. I think both things are going to happen. So it's just going to be with who can pretty much come through and hit the three-pointer with the game on the line with 5 seconds left. Who you give it to? You give it to Kobe Bryant? You give it to Jordan? Because that's who's fighting. Kobe, yeah, and Jordan. And who do you give the three to at the you know, at the end of the game? I don't know. I'm the weird one. I always thought Kobe's better. So I think for some reason I would give the three to Conor. Just because of this, he's good at that situational type of deal, you know. And if I had to guess, he wins in like round four or late round three. And but I don't want it to go that way. I would love to see Khabib win. I would love to see Khabib and Ferguson. I think that's one of the greatest fights in MMA history. So, I hope Khabib wins, but I'm, you know, you don't want to pick against Conor in MMA. I think that's also crazy. You don't want to pick against Khabib either, I guess.
Yeah.
So,
see, it's interesting you say that, yeah, because I know that a lot of people who have analyzed this fight to death, right? We've seen every possible way. Any story that's come out about it, here's five ways Khabib can win, here's five ways Conor can win. You know, everyone's trying to say they actually think that Conor's chance to win this fight is in the first round or two. You know, because if you give Khabib that much time to figure out Conor, it's going to hurt Conor massively, and that Conor can't roll with the likes of Khabib.
Yeah.
So I
don't know where people, I've watched a lot of film. I don't know where people have come up with this myth that he doesn't have good ground. That is a complete and utter myth, because he has phenomenal ground. I don't know what fights they've been watching the Conors, but they're all good. Every ground move he made against Chad Mendez was correct, and he escaped. You know, he was able to escape one of the most dangerous guys on the roster back in the day. Chad was one of the most dangerous guys. He was Khabib back then. Chad was so explosive, so dangerous. I thought he beat Jose Aldo, by the way. So I thought Chad was the best guy back then, pound for pound.
Oh, wow.
You know, and back in the day, think about it. Remember when him and Jose had the war, mm-hmm, their war? I mean, that fight was a coin flip. I thought Chad won, but either way, he was one of the best in the world and one of the worst matchups for Conor. And he won, you know, and I mean, and Conor beat him. And he made proper escapes when Chad went for his wicked guillotine. And same for, with Nate. Nate did everything properly. Conor escaped properly. Gator rolled out. But what people don't calculate is fatigue. When you are fatigued, of course you're going to look like crap. On the feet, on the ground, whatever. I mean, are we going to rate Conor striking now because we saw him throw the worst punches ever in round 10 against Floyd because he was tired? Are we going to say he's not dangerous? You know what I mean? Because we know he looked terrible at the last few rounds with Floyd because he was tired. And he got tired against Nate because he tried to finish Nate. Right? It's not, he didn't get tired because he sucked. He got tired because he tried to finish. Trying to sprint and put away another human as tough as Nate Diaz will get you tired, especially if you don't do it.
Yeah.
You know? So everybody that fights a Diaz paces them themselves. They know better than what Conor did. They pace themselves when you fight the Diazes. So the only bad grappling we saw was against Nate, and that was fatigue. That was fatigue and he was hurt. So he's a good grappler. I think that two things are going to happen that's going to surprise everybody, and you can chalk this down here on your show. You can write it in gold. Conor's grappling with Khabib will be on par in the first three rounds. I believe that. Tie. And I also believe that Khabib's striking is going to be on with Conor's. I really do. I think that Khabib is going to use the clinch, get stuffed, and then punch in the clinch in weird positions and land a lot of shots on Conor. I think he's going to land a lot of strikes on Conor early, and I think Conor is going to be on par in grappling. So it's going to be the opposite, I think, of what people think. I really do. I think that Conor is going to get touched more than he ever has in an MMA fight in the face, and that on the feet. And I think that Khabib's going to meet more ground resistance than he's ever came across. That's why I believe round four, just something weird's going to finally happen. either Conor breaks and gets ground and pounded into mashed potatoes, or he catches him. And I just kind of, unfortunately, see the catching thing happening.
Mainly because Khabib hasn't finished a fighter in some time.
Yeah, that's the problem I have. Exactly. That's the problem I have is you can't leave a guy like Conor hanging out. You can't leave them lurking. You know what I mean? You can't keep giving them chances. So I agree with you. That could come back and hurt him. If you're gonna leave him in the fight that long, you're leaving opportunities. You're giving opportunities. That's what's happening.
Yeah. Again, everybody's going to analyze this to death, but that's a really unique thought, and I never really counted that. You know, of course, we know that Conor does a lot of his jiu-jitsu and groundwork with Dylan Danis, and, you know, Dylan's new to MMA, but anybody who knows him in jiu-jitsu knows that he's probably one of the better grapplers in the world.
Oh, for sure. He's a freak.
so we go with that.
They're both going to be prepared. That's what I'm saying. And they're both going to take away the other guy's game. Connor's going to be able to neutralize a lot of Khabib's stuff. He's too good of an athlete not to figure it out and neutralize it. And Khabib's going to be able to neutralize Connor's stuff. That's why I think in the beginning, everybody's mouth's going to be open when they see Khabib landing punches. And Conor even maybe hurt from a few punches, but so stubborn in that game plan not to give up a takedown that he's allowing himself to get punched, if that makes any sense.
It does make sense.
So and vice versa. Khabib being so stubborn and not getting punched, you know, that he's creating maybe openings for Conor or escapes for Conor. And where he's hard to grapple with. I really think it's going to be an opposite fight of what people think until round three or four. I think it's going to be late three or round four, and I think something's going to finally give. But I think until then, everybody's going to be looking at themselves like, what a weird fight this is. This is not what I pictured. You know, when they see the punch stat, and I think Khabib's going to outland them in the early two rounds. I really do.
Wow. So you're calling this officially on point. You're giving this to Conor late three, early four.
Yes. All right. If I had to guess, early four. But I think he's going to be losing up until that point, and I think he's going to be hit hard a bunch up until that point. I think he's going to even get rocked on the feet.
Wow.
So,
well, let's look at the co-main event then in lightweight, because we have Tony Ferguson, who really was... He kind of got left in the dust because of all of this stuff that happened. And he's taking on Anthony Pettis. Is Tony going to storm back and then he's going to be basically fighting the winner of Conor and Khabib?
Oh, yes. Tony, man, I feel so bad for Tony. Tony's been dominating the lightweight division for ages. He is the true champ of the lightweight division. Neither Khabib nor Conor is. He's the true champ. He's been the most impressive guy, in my opinion, in the lightweight division. And yes, he better get his shot after that. But honestly, he's also fighting stylistically an awful matchup for it. So that's another weird fight to me. Because Tony, you know, he's so reckless in his amazing attacks that here's openings. And man, there, if there's one guy you don't want to give an opening to, you know who that is.
Yep, it's Pettis.
It's Pettis. So it's a weird fight. And Tony doesn't, has a little Fedor in him. He doesn't care who you are or what, if you have the best triangle in the world or what, he'll hop right in it and start slugging you in while he's in a triangle. You know, he doesn't, he's got that Fedor mentality, you know? And so it's stylistically a bad matchup for Tony, but I still think he's going to win because he's the best lightweight in the world.
And you got to think, now that we put these two together, that the UFC is hoping that Conor wins, because you and I both know if Khabib wins and Tony wins, Dana's going to lose his damn mind if he has to try and rebook that fight for now the fifth or sixth time.
I know. You know, fans have short memories. Once you're able to pull off Khabib versus Conor and Ferguson versus Pettis, blah, 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 you forget, you know what I mean? And then back, we start over again because, you know, other successful things have happened since then.
Yeah, but that'll be a fun fight. Now, go ahead, Rick.
Dana's a stud. He'll make it happen. He's the best for a reason, and he doesn't give up. He kept saying he's going to give up on Fedor, too, and he kept going after Fedor forever. And even though there, you know, Fedor's management just wasn't allowing it to happen, he was almost able to get Fedor a bunch of times, and he's going to make that fight's going to happen one day. It's too good of a fight not to happen. Us hardcore people, me, you, no, Ferguson and Khabib is just the coolest fight ever. Period. Ever.
I agree with
ever.
You.
I love that fight. I don't think there's a fight I'd ever wanted to see more than that fight other than Krylkov and Fedor.
Ah, okay, so, there you go. Yeah. I see where you're going with that. So we kind of move on. Obviously, we have about a week until UFC 229. Is there any fight outside of those two, Rick, that you're excited for? You know, the fanboy comes out in you?
On which card?
On the fight card next week.
Let me think on what's next week real quick.
With Conor and Khabib.
Oh, yeah. I thought there was another one that slipped in there.
Oh, there is, but...
On that card?
Yeah.
No, not a chance. you don't want to be on that card. I mean, Conor and Khabib, like I said, two of the greatest competitors in the history of our sport are fighting. People need to just love that that's happening, and that, you know, it took Tyson and Holyfield years to fight each other. You know, if this was Tyson and Holyfield, it still wouldn't happen for 5 years. Conor and Khabib in their primes fighting. There's no other fight. Who cares? I hate to say it. Nothing you do is going to be noticed when those two fight. And then you got Ferguson and Pettis. You can't even, you know what I mean? Like that card would still sell the same if you just put on two fights.
That's true.
Can you imagine? The pay-per-view wouldn't change. The gate wouldn't change. Two fights. Those two fights are ridiculous. Ridiculous. So, I mean, we already know Ferguson's going to try his outlandish stuff on Pettis, and Pettis is dangerous to try it on, but he's going to do it. And that fight's just going to be crazy. Absolutely crazy. And so is the next one. Period. Like, how can anybody even talk about another fight on that card? It sucks to be on. I would hate to be on that undercard. Everybody probably wants to be on that undercard. No way. You ain't getting any bonus. Five of the nights going to one of those two. Sub or finish of the night going to those two. It's just, you're not getting anything on that card. You're out.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think the Michelle Waterson-Felice Herrig fight intrigues me because, you know, Waterson already has the victory over Felice. Felice went on that really impressive run, but, you know, that was cut short after losing the decision. So that fight kind of intrigues me.
That, unfortunately, just made me yawn.
You heard it here, folks. The Karate Hottie versus Felice Herrig made Rick Little yawn.
Yeah, it didn't do anything for me, but, you know, there's very few females I like watching fighting, unfortunately. They all look like bunny rabbits fighting.
Well, so, I think you I have one of them, don't you?
There's a few that fight. Amanda fights and Juliana fights and she goes for it. And there's a few that go for it. Cyborg doesn't count because I just think that's a, I think that's a joke in itself. So I don't even understand how she's in. I don't know why our sport's going backwards on that one. You know, the sport got originated from Hoist Gracie back in the day, taking on bigger, you know, guys, bigger steroidal, stronger guys than him and showing how technique wins. And then we go backwards with have some girl who's been known to use before and is bigger than everybody, bigger hands, bigger bones, bigger head, smashing on little girls. I just, I don't understand that at all. I have no desire for to take part in that at all.
Wow, that's an interesting point.
I don't like it at all. Yeah. I'm surprised Dana likes it. I feel like I'm on the same page with him on a lot of stuff. When he makes weird decisions, I'm right behind it and believe I get it. I don't get that one at all. I don't know what he's doing with the cyborg thing. I think it's going backwards.
Yeah.
To be honest.
That's true. But you know, yeah. we bring up Juliana. How's she doing in the gym, man? I know that we're eager to see her return. You know, of course, several congratulations have already been made. You know, she has a child now, but is she ready? She's ready to return, right?
Yeah, she's ready to go. She's her normal angry self. So she's the vixen, and she really is a vixen. A lot of people have some stupid nicknames out there because it's just because they rhyme or some crap. Her nickname is the truth. She's the vixen. She's a very angry lady, very scorned, angry lady. So she's going to, I thought maybe the baby make her nice. And the only person she's nice to is her baby. So anyone else is still getting messed up. So I also believe that that's the best female fighter in the world. Pound for pound. Granted, I'm biased, but she lost to Valentina, but she lost to Valentina taking a fight on short notice while she was moving, met a new guy. She didn't even, you know, that fight wasn't even taken serious. And that's a girl. Valentina is a girl to be taken serious.
Right.
You know, that's for sure. And I think, like I said, a honed in Juliana Pena, full camp, full team around her. She wasn't even in our gym. She was just got done moving with her boyfriend at the time to Chicago. And then she called me and said, I'm fighting Valentina in 3 weeks. And I go, what? And she's like, yeah, do you want to come out here and help? And I'm like, we've never taken a fight like that. We've never taken a fight like that. We've always had plotted attacks with her and coordinated attacks. And I'm like, why are you doing this? You're number one ranked. You don't have to do anything. You're fighting Amanda next. Just settle in. But the UFC needed her to do a main event. They said they needed it. They didn't have a main. Please help us. So she did it as a company person, and it cost her. And she learned a valuable lesson, though, that no matter how good you think you are or better you are than somebody, you better be on your A-plus game at all times, because sometimes A-minus isn't enough.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And,
yeah.
She didn't fight the real Juliana that goes to camp for 12 weeks and turns into a raging psycho that just murders people. I didn't see that, Juliana, because she wasn't even there. She was out thinking, you know. So what I'm saying is that's the best girl in the world. That's the girl stylistically that will destroy Amanda Nunes. So, and everybody that laughs when I say that will see that Juliana was able to throw Kat Zingano around and Amanda does not like to be thrown around. She doesn't like to be clinched. There isn't a girl on the planet that has avoided Juliana from grabbing her and throwing her down, including Valentina.
Right.
Valentina won from her back. So hopefully Amanda can throw up some Hail Mary triangles, because she will be thrown around by Juliana and she will have to win off of her back. Yeah. And that's not the matchup for her. We saw what Kat did. It's just not her body type. She's a sprint striker. Sprint strikers do not like the grind of wrestling. They get tired. So that's the best fight for her. Out of the top five girls, Amanda's Julie's easiest fight.
All right.
I believe that.
Now, do you think that...
I believe that.
Is Juliana basically waiting on Amanda Nunes, or are you expecting that they might give her a Catlin or a Holly Holm?
No. Yeah, I don't know what the deal is with it. I really don't. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on with the Conor thing and the UFC and everything that I don't know what's going on. I just know she's going to be ready by New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve, huh?
Well, I'm just saying, New Year's, right when the clock, right when that New Year turns and the Earth orbits around the sun one more time, she'll be ready. That's what I know.
Outstanding.
She's probably ready now, but I want her ready, like, back in the old days ready, like, before she fell in love ready.
Oh, like, okay.
Like, angry, like, training in the gym 6 hours a day ready type stuff.
Jesus, that is a lot of training. Rick, look,
well,
man.
I'm exaggerating a little bit. She was there all the time. She was there all the time. That's what I'm saying. You had to kick her out.
Yeah, I got you. Well, Rick, I looked at, you know, just kind of, you know, cutting up with you and asking how your golf game's going, but damn, we really got into it today, didn't we?
Yeah, I know, huh? I guess I get pent up with stuff, so, yeah. And there's a lot to be said, you know, with all this stuff that's been going on with my Tiesa and Julie been out, so it's hard to get into the cute stuff.
No,
there's
I hear you.
There's a lot going on.
Rick, let me ask you something. Has anyone reached out to you? I mean, because I know that Mike is just trying to shut it out, you know, he doesn't want to be part of it, blah, blah, blah. Has anyone reached out to you and put this on record? Because I got to be honest, I go through and I don't see anyone saying that.
Saying what?
Saying that, you know, this lawsuit was filed months ago. I don't know why it's breaking today. He may not even be the only one that's filed it, so on and so forth.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what... I don't know how the legal proceedings, I think that stuff doesn't get shown. I don't know how attorneys work, but I think stuff is official after they get arraigned in court the second time. I don't know how it works. Or until, you know, once he's pled guilty to criminal conduct, then it hits. I don't know. But the bottom line is already happened. It did already happen. I don't know if you can't disclose until, you know, he got found guilty or something.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how that happens. So, because anyone can sue anybody at any time. I could sue you tomorrow. But it doesn't, you know, if you end up pleading guilty to something criminal, then believe me, my suit's going to really be a stuck suit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, it's just very weird, because if you were to type in, into a Google search, Michael Chiesa lawsuit, the first story that comes up with me was Michael Chiesa in process of taking legal action against Conor. That happened in the first week in July. Scroll down a couple more stories. You see UFC Michael Chiesa files police report against Conor McGregor. That was from TMZ. That was on April 6th. So we know that this had to have happened for a while. So it just seems like it was sloppy journalism to make it sound like this all just finally came out.
Yeah, I don't know. That just is. It is. You're the most accurate journalist right now, period.
It just,
because you know the truth.
Well, look, and like I said, if nothing else, I mean, you know, what Conor did was ridiculous. Mike has every right to be doing what he's doing. So, you know, I know that you don't talk about it, but I absolutely support what Mike is doing.
Either.
What's up?
I told Mike this. And he knows this, and this is the best quote you'll ever hear. Lose your next fight, this lawsuit thing is going to hinder you, that fans are going to be pricks. Win your next fight, smash Carlos Condit, and suddenly they like you. It's as simple as that. Winning, they like every move you do. Losing, they hate every move you do. You just lost to Pettis, and then the lawsuit thing got shown on the media. What do you think is going to happen? What if you highlight real Pettis? They wouldn't have that. They wouldn't have that reaction. Guaranteed.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, guaranteed. If Conor loses to Khabib, people are going to mention the bus thing and all day what a prick Conor is. If Conor starches Khabib, then people are not going to even care that he did the bus thing. It's as simple as that. It's just once you become a winner, they don't care. Mike Tyson, they didn't care if he raped or not when he was winning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you were a bum fighter, bottom of the barrel fighter making $500 a fight, not $5 million like Tyson, and you got accused of rape, the world would come after you. So the bottom line is you got to win. You just got to win. I mean, that's what I tell Mike. Just win. All your problems will go away. Just win, baby, like they say in the Raiders.
Al Davis, baby.
Yep. Just win, baby, and then you're good. You lose, then you're going to get this shit storm of the fans, and rightfully so. You're under that microscope.
Wow. So much here that we've had in an hour, Rick. I can't even fathom it. I'm going to have to, like, take a break from this to come back and re-listen to it, because there's just so much energy and so many points that were made. And again, we appreciate you giving us all this time. But Rick, let's get back to you for the end of this. How's everything going for you? You know, obviously we talked about Excite Fight and Sick Jitsu. Man, what do you have coming up in the future?
What does that mean? For my promotion or my fighters, or what do you mean?
Wherever you want to take it, my man.
My future is really simple. It's always one thing at a time, one little obstacle ahead of me. It's Carlos Condit and Mike Chiesa. Everybody talks like this. You are going to see a scary Mike Chiesa against Carlos Condit. I really believe that. I think he's going to impress the daylights out of everybody. I think that all this legal stuff's falling behind him. The weight cutting, you know, the killing himself has stopped. So he's back. I think he's going to be reinvented. He's going to be the 20-year-old kid that I had back in the day, the eager 20-year-old. He's going to be scary, and I feel like that energy has rubbed off on Sam Cecilia too. He has a epic fight in Bellator coming up against, I'm drawing a blank on the guy's name right now, the guy that beat Melvin Gillard, knocked him out.
Give me a second. You caught me off guard with that one, Rick. Touche, sir. I appreciate it. Let me see here.
I know. His name's Derek Campos. So Sam's fighting Derek Campos in a slugfest in Bellator, Hawaii.
He got on the Hawaii card? Come on.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
So that's right, but that's 2 weeks before Mike's fight. So we got a busy December coming up, and also in December we have Tyler McGuire, I'm pretty sure they haven't confirmed it, fighting for the ONE FC title, the guy that just beat Sapo Santos.
Yeah, wow.
So our gym's been on a little bit of a downswing with injuries, Daniel Spitz and Mike losing, and Sam just lost Emmanuel Sanchez, but my goodness, all of a sudden something happened, and this December Christmas time, we got some Christmas fights coming up, and we can literally put ourselves back in just an amazing position, and Julie's going to be back around then too, and we might be one of the loudest gyms December and January, honestly, in the world.
I look forward to seeing all of that, Rick. That sounds great, and of course everything you're doing at Sick Jitsu sounds awesome. Before we let you go, tell everybody where they can follow you, social media. You're very into social media. I always like that.
Yeah, I'm a crazy poster. They still have fun, and they should just get on my personal Facebook, because I'm too lazy to get on the pages of Excite Fight and Sick Jitsu. I just, for some reason, I get something in my mind, and I pull over in my car, and I start typing. It's just right on my Facebook. So my Facebook's open. It's just pretty much Rick Little. If you type my name, I'll pop up usually up there pretty high, and that's where they should follow me. I make most of my posts. I make my crazy body shot posts and leg kick posts, and they'll get any info and any controversy they want. They'll get, matter of fact, they'll get the Arden video. I was one of the first people with that video. I was filming Mike Chiesa getting his pictures taken, and then all of a sudden Khabib comes running out of the room, and I'm like, why is he so mad? And I saw him running out, and then I was already filming Mike. And then Khabib started ragdolling Artem. I was one of the first guys there. I'm like a journalist, and I was there when on the bus incident too. So I'm like the best TMZ journalist out there. So if people were following my Facebook, they would have saw that, because I was Facebooking live Mike doing his pictures and all his other cute little stuff he was doing. And then Khabib just jumps up because he was sitting there next in line to do his pictures. And he just started yelling something and ran out of the room. And I could tell he was pissed. So I followed him and I got firsthand journalism of that.
So now I'm going to have to go back and follow that on your Facebook. I'm going to have to see what's going on.
Yeah, so basically, if you follow my Facebook, you can get all that cool stuff. And then, you know, not to mention, Ricky's a better athlete than people think over here. So they're going to get some trick golf shots, trick football throws, amazing dance moves, all of it. Depends on the mood I'm in. You'll get something.
Yeah, I'm really jealous of your golf score because you even said that you don't really enjoy golf that much. You're just good at it.
Yeah, I don't really enjoy it at all. Golf, come on. They should have made it for four holes and it'd be fun. Like four fun holes, but then sticking you out there for 18 and 4 hours is absurd to me. I can't do it. It is absurd.
You're killing me.
The only guy that can sit around on their butt that long and do nothing is Trump. He loves golfing. I couldn't do that.
You just got a good response from my roommate on that one. Well played, sir.
Yeah.
Well, Rick, we look forward to seeing everything coming out of Sick Jitsu, coming out of the Pacific Northwest for you. And like you said, sounds like you have a fun end of the year planned. So we'll let you get through all of that one at a time. But we want to thank you for coming on the show again, man. Always great cutting it up with you and kind of talking about everything that's been going on in the world.
Good. I appreciate your time again. Thanks for following us. In December, follow us. Get back on top of the MMA world. We're going to be right on standing on top of the globe on Antarctica. You'll see us standing on top. Or go down swinging. It's a scary month for us. We got big fights. It's either going to be really ugly or we're going to, like they say, stick our claim back up top and be one of the loudest gyms by the end of the year.